politics is definitely not confined to the political sphere. So given the increasing importance of this phenomenon, we were interested in studying whether partisan affiliation also play a role in matching workers and employers in the labor market. And so as an economist, you know, in labor market models, there is no role for a worker's or an employer's political views in driving this match. But thought that perhaps if one looked at the data would tell a different story.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Well, most of us tend to keep shtum about politics at work, and one very good reason is that you don't want to make an enemy of your boss. But in Brazil, where employers and employees alike tend to show their political affiliations in public, do political beliefs influence the chances that you're hired, fired, and promoted? Eduardo Teso of Northwestern University is one of a team of researchers that has been exploring Brazil's politically polarized labor market, and he joins me now. Eduardo, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hello, Tim. Thanks for having me.
We need to, first of all, explain current politics in Brazil. I said they're polarized. Well, that's an understatement at the moment, isn't it? Especially during the time that your research has taken place.
Yeah, absolutely. So Brazil is a highly polarized country, as you said. Mm-hmm. And the elections that are taking place in just a few weeks in October are without any doubt going to be the most polarized in the recent history of the country, with current President Bolsonaro being, of course, at the center of this polarization. Now, of course, Bolsonaro is a highly divisive political figure, but I think it would be misleading to see the current level of political polarization in Brazil only through the lenses of a Bolsonaro versus anti-Bolsonaro political battle. Mm-hmm. So even in the decade before the Bolsonaro president, Brazil had been characterized by an intense and increasing level of political polarization, which took largely the form of a PT versus anti-PT cleavage, with PT being the party of the former and perhaps future President Lula. So this intensified after the Lava Jato corruption investigation, which brought to the imprisonment of former President Lula. But it had been present and had been increasing during the 15 years in which the country was governed by the PT, mm-hmm. with an increasing use of fake news campaigns and a polarization that really started to permeate every aspect of individual social lives.
Brazilian people aren't shy of declaring their political allegiance, are they? You notice at the moment that the Brazilian flag tends to get hung out of the window of Bolsonaro supporters, for example. So it's not a big secret.
Absolutely. An important reason why we could do this study is that you actually have pretty good publicly available data also on political affiliation. So definitely they're not shy. And the government, at least for the period we are studying, was not shy in making that information public.
In general, we do know from previous research that managers tend to discriminate in favor of people who might have interests or backgrounds in common with them. But why did you decide to investigate political affiliation in particular?
Of course, discrimination is present in society along several dimensions, race, gender, as you mentioned, broader dimensions like sharing a common background. So in our research project, we were interested in investigating the role of political affiliation because of the increasing role that politics play in defining an individual's social identity. Now, we talked about Brazil, since this is where our study takes place, but this is a trend that is common across many countries in the world. So there is increasing evidence that affective polarization is on the rise. And by affective polarization, I mean the tendency to like people from your own party and dislike people from other parties. So we know that people tend to marry, befriend with, live in the same neighborhood as people with the same political views. Mm-hmm. So politics is definitely not confined to the political sphere. So given the increasing importance of this phenomenon, we were interested in studying whether partisan affiliation also play a role in matching workers and employers in the labor market. And so as an economist, you know, in labor market models, there is no role for a worker's or an employer's political views in driving this match.
No.
We thought that perhaps if one looked at the data would tell a different story.
Well, yes, to do this, you need to have data to look at, don't you? When I've been to Brazil, I have certainly found out that after a couple of drinks, it's really not hard to find out about people's politics in a bar, but this is not data. Are there formal records that you can look up to find out the political affiliations of employers and employees?
Yes, absolutely. So what made this study possible was precisely the fact that we could get this data without having to go to thousands of bars to find this out. What made this study possible was the fact that during the period we are studying, which is from 2002 to 2019, data on individuals' partisan affiliation was publicly available. So online, if you were affiliated with a party, you could know this and you could know which party you were affiliated with. And so we matched this information with administrative data on all private sector workers and business owners in Brazil. And so we could obtain information on the political affiliation of nearly 12 million individuals, workers and business owners in Brazil.
You found out from this that it is more likely that you will be employed if you share politics with the person who's employing you. But how much more likely is this?
So in our study, we use several methods to quantify this phenomenon. Our most conservative estimates show that a worker is, depending on the year in which you focus on, is between 46% to 70% more likely to be employed by a co-partisan owner than by an owner affiliated with a different party.
Wow.
Now, to put these numbers in perspective, in our data, we also observed the race and the gender of workers and employers. So we can calculate these same numbers if we look at shared gender or shared race between workers and employers, rather than shared partisan affiliation. Mm-hmm. So while we also find a tendency for female owners to hire female workers or for white owners to hire white workers, we show that the role of partisan affiliation in driving matching in the labor market is even stronger, and in fact, substantially stronger. And while the importance of race and gender has been decreasing over the period that we studied, the importance of partisan affiliation has been stable or actually increasing somewhat over time.
Yeah, so you've managed to rule out the idea that it's not because people are just from similar backgrounds, of similar racial identity, very important in Brazil, or they're all just claiming political affiliation with whoever happens to be in charge in the region.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and it allows me to describe an important advantage of our study. So Indeed, one may say, well, how do you know that this is about politics? We can imagine that some demographics correlate with partisan affiliation. For instance, more educated workers are more likely to be employed in companies with more educated business owners, and more educated people share more similar political preferences. So this could be driven by similar education between workers and owners, not by similar political views. Mm-hmm. So as you alluded to, a given party might be very popular in a specific region, as another example. And so our estimates might simply be driven by the fact that, well, most business owners and workers from the region belong to the dominant party. Mm. Now, a key aspect of our study is that in our data, we observe many characteristics of the workers and the business owners. As I said, we observe race, gender, but also age, the level of education, the location of the firm, the industry of the firm. And so we can directly account for this in our analysis and control for these characteristics. For instance, these allow us to zoom in and analyze the matching of workers to firms in the same municipality and in the same industry. So we can control for the fact that a party may be more dominant in a region, or people in the same industry may share similar political affiliation. So obviously, we cannot control for any characteristics of workers and employers that is correlated with political preferences. But I think we do the best that we can to show that this is really something about the party these people belong to.
This is such a big result. I'm sure some people will be skeptical of it. You took this a little bit further, didn't you? And you asked potential employers to rate CVs in which they could guess political affiliation. How did you do this experiment?
We think that with our data, we did our best to control for any characteristics of workers and employers that is correlated with politics. But of course, there are many that we cannot observe.
Yeah.
And an important one that may perhaps people think that our effects are exaggerated is shared social networks. That is, members of your social network are more likely to share your same political views. And as an employer, you're not actively discriminating in favor of co-partisans. Maybe it's just that once you need to hire someone, you turn to your social network. And so people were more likely than not to share similar political views.
And in countries like Brazil, a lot of people are hired on recommendation, aren't they?
Absolutely. And so since we could not observe, of course, the social networks of everyone in our data set, so we decided to run an experiment here. And so what we did is we sent to a sample of 150 owners from our data a set of fictitious CVs that they had to rate. We introduced cues to partisan affiliation of the applicant on a subset of these CVs. So things like campaign analyst for the PT party or youth representative for the Dem party. So we introduced these cues as part of the work experiences or other activities sections of these resumes. And then we asked employers to rate these CVs on the basis of their interest in hiring these job candidates. And we were interested, obviously, in whether CVs with a cue that the job seeker is from the same party are rated higher. Mm-hmm. And importantly, business owners that are part of our experiment knew that the CVs were fake, but we told them that the preferences, the ratings that they expressed, would then be used by us to send them a set of CVs of real job seekers from their regions that they could be interesting for their firms. And we had access to these CVs, to these real CVs, thanks to a collaboration with a Brazilian employee matchmaking platform. So employers had incentive to report their ratings of this resume truthfully so that they could receive these future CVs that match their reported preferences.
What happened? Did this support the results that you had before?
Yes. So consistent with what we found in the administrative data, employers showed a preference for resumes that suggested that the job seeker was from their same party. average rating for these resumes is about 7% higher than for resumes signaling that the job seekers is from a different party. And this is important because while the employer-employee data, in that data we could not control for these shared network effects, this experiment does not suffer from these shortcomings. Since we're not talking about employers turning to their social network to find workers, we're talking about revealed preferences for resumes that we provide to these employers.
This paper is like three papers in one, because you also did a survey as well, didn't you? In which you, I believe you asked whether employers and employees knew that this discrimination or accepted that this discrimination existed, or whether it was, I don't know what we call this, unconscious bias. Did they acknowledge it?
Yes, they do. So we run a survey of workers and owners. So we survey of almost 900 business owners from our data, and we ask them whether they consider the political views of potential employees when making their hiring decisions. And we found that, surprisingly somewhat, that almost one out of three business owners revealed that politics affects their hiring, at least to some extent.
Gosh. So is this what in labor economics we tend to call taste-based discrimination, as in you tend to hire people who are to your taste and do not hire people who are to your distaste?
Yeah, so there are two types of discrimination here that are consistent with our results. One is, as you mentioned, taste-based discrimination. That is, employers have a personal taste for interacting and sharing this workplace with workers of their same party and instead dislike workers from the opposite party. But there is also an additional type of discrimination that is consistent with our results, which is belief-based discrimination. Ah. That is, owners may believe that workers of their same party would be more productive, perhaps because they themselves would work better with people with their same political views. They could get along better. So team cohesion within the company may increase. Both of these types of discrimination could be at play in this setting.
I see. And they tend to work economically in two different ways, don't they? As I remember it, taste-based discrimination, you were willing to accept perhaps some economic hit because you preferred to work with people that matched your tastes. But the productivity-based reasoning implies that people thought that their organizations would do better. So is there an economic hit for these organizations because they are hiring from their own political constituencies?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, we find that the importance of a shared partisan affiliation between workers and owners is not limited to the hiring stage. Mm-hmm. We show that once they are employed in the firm, workers who are co-partisan with the owner are more likely to be promoted within the firm and enjoy a significant wage premium. They earn about 3% more than similar workers in the same firm. However, despite being more likely to be promoted and despite earning more, we show that co-partisans are less qualified on the basis of education for the job that they perform. Now, what is the ultimate real economic consequences for the firm, the impact on performance? Here it depends on which of these two types of discrimination that we discuss or explain the result. Which of the two is the main driver of the result? Mm-hmm. If this is based discrimination, as you alluded to, owners may be willing to take a hit. We may expect a negative impact on firm performance. The owners are sacrificing quality here, quality of the workforce, just to have around people that they like more.
Yeah.
If it is belief-based discrimination on the other side, and these beliefs are correct on average, that is, workers who share the same party with the owners are indeed more productive, this reduces conflict between workers and owners, then this could increase productivity within the firm. So yes, these workers may be less qualified on education, but maybe this could be more than compensated by better team cohesion.
As you said, we do have presidential election coming up. I've been following the news. The atmosphere there is absolutely poisonous at the moment. People are becoming more and more strident about their political views. Do you think that perhaps this tendency that you've uncovered could get worse?
Well, as we said at the beginning, these are going to be, without any doubt, the most polarized elections in recent history of the country. So this probably could get worse. Now, this is an open question. If you can get similar data in the future, we could see if these trends are getting more and more important. And as you mentioned too, anecdotal evidence about what is going on in the country and the current political climate around this election time suggests this may indeed be the case, or at least that the problem could not become better over time.
Something to look out for. I'm sure we're going to be seeing more and more of it around the world on the news. So let's see what goes on. But it's a very interesting piece of research into a topic that so far we haven't covered very much. I think perhaps because data has been hard to find. Eduardo, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
The paper is called Politics at Work, and the authors are Emanuele Colonelli, Valdemar Pignonetto, and Eduardo Tesso. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to find any of our past episodes, remember they are all at voxdev.org, along with articles about the papers we feature.